23rd chapter. We're going to talk about our great shepherd, about the work of our God, and how the Lord wants your life to, amen, to matter. And God has purpose that he wants to restore and refill. And Psalm the 23rd chapter, most of us could quote it, but we want to read it together tonight. Psalm the 23rd chapter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Since God is my shepherd, he takes care of my need. I have no need as long as I have the shepherd in my life. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Then the next verse said, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, somebody say forever. But he restoreth my soul. Restoreth my soul. He puts back my soul's purpose. You have a purpose. And he wants to restore your purpose. Boy, this hour we're living in, there's people that are purposely. They don't even have a drive or reason. Ambition may be great, but purpose seems to be something that is absent in our generation. We're going to talk about the Lord restoring purpose. Amen. Would you put your Bibles down just for a moment? We're going to pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, God, for our purpose being restored. We thank you for the touch that you give, the grace that you have for every one of us. God, that you do see, you do know and understand, Lord, all things, and you see, Lord, what we need tonight in this life that we're living. God, many of us need our purpose to be revealed. There's some that just needs it to be restored and refueled. And we pray your grace and your mercy tonight, God, just to open our eyes that we could see that you see our lives and that you're a God of purpose. And we praise you tonight for who you are and who you are to us and for us. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Would you give Jesus the applause tonight for his glory? Somebody clap your hands and praise God. What a mighty God we serve. What a loving Savior we have tonight. Oh, the Bible teaches, oh, clap your hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Oh, you ought to shout to God tonight. Your voice ought to be lifted. God, you're great. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my keeper. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. Well, our choir, they sing a lot of old songs. Some of them are very old, but they may be in some people's mind old and cold, but they still have meaning. The Lord is coming. And the Lord doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to connect to him. Tonight, the Lord wants to restore purpose. There's a book called The Tale of Three Kings. And David, the psalmist, went through a lot of different things in despair in his life. One of the psalms he cried, and he said, oh Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. How many's ever been to that low spot in life where you were overwhelmed and you just needed something there? You needed somebody or something to come through with understanding. David was in a place of despair and he cried and said, Lord, I need you. And he said, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto you. But when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. I'm glad that God has a place that is bigger and greater than what my proposition in life is. What I see for myself, God has a higher place and a higher sense of purpose for us. David, when he wrote those things in Psalm 61, David was in a cave, drowned in sorrow. But his song began to come out. It was a song of sorrow. Here I am. The enemy is surrounding me. The enemy's come against me. And this enemy is not a foreign enemy, but it's one of my own, some of my own people, some of the people that I have loved and I grew up admiring, people that I have been schooled with, people that I have worshiped with, people that I grew up knowing. Now they're coming against me. But in his despair, he cries, and God hears his voice. David became the great hymn writer. The book of Psalms is the book of songs in the Bible. And the great comforter of broken hearts. And the songs begin to minister. The songs of the book and the word of the Lord. Many times we read those or we sing those songs. And there's something about the God of the word coming in. When we start singing about him and bragging on him and boasting and loving God, things begin to happen and God begins to step through. There's nothing like the power of God's glory and God's provision. The shepherd knows where you're at tonight. But there's a detrimental time that we all face. Like a caged bird who once knew what it felt like to soar in the heights of the heavens, that is captured and put in a cage against its will. That strong wings that used to feel the glory of the heavens and the wind under his wings now is locked in the cage, and there's no way for him to get through it. But I'm so thankful that in the time of despair, in the time of imprisonment where we felt that there was no way out, I'm glad for the great hand of a Savior that opened the door for every one of us and said, your purpose is not for you to be confined, but your purpose is to be something and to know a greater liberty than what you've ever known. God has a liberty for you. God has a peace for you. Oh, I'm thankful tonight that God has a purpose. And many times it seems that we are held backwards against our purpose, and there's a loss of even reason. We can't comprehend what's going on in our life. But I'm so thankful that God restores our soul. He restores our purpose. You know the difference between a compass. Many times I grew up in the country, and you probably could tell by my accent, I grew up in South Louisiana. My family, they wandered in the swamps and the bayous of life. Oh, but I was taught from very early how to read a compass. But there's a difference between a compass and a GPS. How many is thankful for a GPS system? A compass will show you and point you direction, but a GPS will determine where you're at and how to get out of there. I'm thankful that I have a God who knows where I'm at. And my God is the great shepherd who leads us out into that place that he has prepared for us. He leads us to that rock that is so much higher than what we could ever suppose. I'm glad tonight that I have a heavenly Father who knows exactly what I need, but he knows where I'm at. Amen. Not only does God point, we have a lot of people that point. We have a lot of people say, you need to do this or do that. But I'm so thankful to have a shepherd that comes where I'm at and helps me from where I'm at to where I need to be. I want tonight in this service for the Spirit of the Lord to help us to locate and regain our purpose. God wants to restore our soul. And in restoring our soul, you can't help to get a restoration of your purpose. God wants to refuel you and your objective in life. Amen. Many great ambitions. I can remember beginning to seek, what am I going to do in life? Where am I going to go to college and what I'm going to do? Amen. Oh, friend, I had a lot of different things in my mind. But there was something deeper, something greater that God had for my life. There were things that people try to say, well, maybe you need to do this. Oh, you need to do that. But I'm so thankful that God had a greater purpose for me. Amen. A calling that I could not escape. A reason, amen, for his kingdom. Many voices, many times, try to blurt out our focus in life. There's many people try to point with direction. But I'm so thankful today for the great agent, amen, of my God, that he comes through and he has the answer for my soul. And he sees exactly what I need. Man, there's a lot of voices today. There's a lot of things and suggestive things that come our way. Amen. And many things that try to tell you, amen, you need to go this way or do that. And in a time of confusion, in a time where you can't see ahead, sometimes the next step. There's a scripture in the Word of God says, thy word, Psalm 119, 105, is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I told you I'm from Louisiana. I get everything backwards. Amen. God will help you. Amen. That you can make the next step when you follow the God of this word. God is more than just a book. God has more than a book for you today. Amen. A strange, mystical book. Amen. That you can't make sense out of. But this is a great book because the God of this word begins to come alive when you begin to open this book. You are open to the door when you open the word of God. And God begins to reveal himself and prove to you and I that he's the one in control. When things feel out of control, when things are running empty, God has a refueling power for your life. Amen. I pray that this message tonight will encourage you. God is in control, so it's in his hand I must hold. God knows my plight, so I must follow his light. God sees what I lack, and his promises, he promises that he is not slack. God desires to lead me to the end, and for me, through him, win. So I can't go wrong with God, for he will be with me, and in him I will abide. And I found that poem, and it's how wonderful it is to know that you can't go wrong with God. You can't go wrong with the things of God. I'm here to encourage somebody. You're searching for your purpose in life, but the great shepherd is here tonight to bring back to your heart and your mind and your soul, even a purpose that you're not here to just exist. You're not here just to waste up a lifetime, but he has a great purpose for your soul. He has a great reason for you to know him. What a privilege to know God today. What a privilege to have the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace in our life. But sometimes we do get weary, even in well-doing. But the scripture says we shall reap, we shall win if we faint not. Sister LaJoyce Martin, a great, what's the opposite of a patriot, a female? She's a patriot. I mean, a great soldier. How many of you ever remember Sister LaJoyce Martin? She's been a wonderful lady that God used many times. And she wrote many different books, but she said this, if chicken soup makes you feel better, soul broth will make you well. God don't want you just to feel good. God wants you to do well. Amen. And God wants you to prosper. God don't want his people to be those that are empty-pocketed, empty-hearted, empty life, a wasted life of no purpose at all. But I'm so thankful that God has something for your soul. If God lives in your soul, God lives in your life, and your life is in him, God will take care of you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad tonight I have God. He's the mighty God. Again, he's the everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. Like the psalmist, I want my cup to run over. Back in the Bible times, the custom was when somebody would compliment you with hospitality, they would pour into your cup the liquid till it would run over. And there's many times, just the other day, my precious wife poured me a cup of coffee. I had a grandbaby, a two-year-old, right there next to me. And the two-year-old, I mean, he couldn't help it. I mean, he was just being a two-year-old, but my cup was almost to the brim. And I mean, he bumped it. And I mean, coffee went all over the place. And I mean, I spilt it, but there was something about it. Amen. I hurried and cleaned it up. And there's a lot of times we spill things, even though God just says, hey, I just want to refill your cup. Even though you made a mess, even though you failed, even though you fumbled, even though you stumbled in life, amen, I'm glad I have a God who refills my cup, who restores my soul. And when he does, he fills it up till it runs over. God has overrunning, overwhelming power for your life. Hey, God has victory for us tonight. In him we have victory. In him we have joy. My brother O.C. Marler, another great man of God, said this: before you tear down the wall, be sure they're not holding up the building. There's some walls that are load-bearing walls that are there. And many times we get frustrated and say, I'm bouncing against this wall and I'm just going to demolish it. Hold it. Sometimes God is using that wall to hold something up. And God don't want you to go that direction. Many times God says no for a purpose. There's a purpose in no many times in our life. But we better have sense enough to say yes to God when God says no. And when God says no, there's a greater yes for your life. Amen. Many times we don't understand. We feel restricted. And we think, oh, the Bible's just a bunch of rules. Thou shalt not and thou can't do this. And you can't. Hey, living for God is not a tightrope. Where you're walking and you're there in balance trying to walk and you scoot your way across the rope feeling, oh, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. No, the Bible talks about a relationship with God. It's not a tightrope, but it's a highway that God walks with you. It's a way that is higher than everything else. I don't know about you. I would rather live for God than to be the president of the United States of America. I would rather do for God and be in his purpose than anything. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. God's still in control. And he's the mender of broken hearts. I read a story not too long ago about a man named Edward Walls who lived in a mission in Indianapolis. He had apparently decided to take a nap in a trash bin. One of these big old trash bins. And a truck came by and picked him up. Picked up that dumpster where he was inside, where he was asleep. And he had a great awakening. Because the dumpster was picked up, lifted up, and the back of the truck, all the contents, along with Edward, were dumped. A crane operator was lowering 40-foot claws to pick up a portion of trash that the truck had left to place in an incinerator to be burned when he saw something in the trash. He saw something there was moving. And Edward was rescued that day because of somebody seeing him amongst the trash. I don't know about you. I'm glad that God seen me amongst the trash of this world. Amen. God's seen you in spite of your surrounding and conditions. Even though you were headed into the wrong direction and your purpose seemed not to be at all something that you desired, but God had a greater purpose than what you ever dreamed. Are you here tonight? How many's here tonight that God rescued you out of a horrible pit? The scripture said in Psalm the 40th chapter, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined in me and heard my cry and brought me out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the rock and establish my goals. He put a new song in my mouth and even praise unto God that many shall see it and fear it and they shall trust in the Lord also. You got a song. You got a purpose that God lives in your life that others can see it and know that there's a God in your soul. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful testament and evidence of what God can do with somebody whose life feels unfit. We're so thankful. But many people get in that place where they start losing their purpose. And they start blaming. The blame game is a result of despair. You could blame it on your mama. You could blame it on somebody. And we live in a world where the blame thrower is used very much, where we throw the blame from here to there. But I'm so thankful that in our despair, even when we even blame God, that I have a great God who's able to pick us up in the midst of our despair and give us a new hope. I don't want to be a blamer. I want to look to God for my purpose to be fulfilled. I read something too that I want to share with you, and I've used this before, but I felt led to just do it again. A woman was waiting. It's written in a poem. I'm not a good poet, or I didn't write this, but just bear with me. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shops, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man sitting beside her, as bold as he could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag in between. When she tried to ignore to avoid making a scene, so she munched the cookie and watched the clock as the gusty cookie thief diminished her stock. He was getting more, and he began to irritate as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if it wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie, she took one, and he took one too. With only one left, she wondered, what would he do? With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh, brother. The guy had some nerve, and he was also rude. Why didn't he even show? He didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled, and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed towards the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat. Then she sought her book and was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she grasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned in despair, the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. How many times in our life have we absolutely known that something was a certain way only to be wrong? How many times we easily blame others and later find out we were the wrong. On empty, we do strange things. When we don't have purpose and we don't remember our purpose and we forget our purpose, and when our purpose is running on big E or empty, we're easily offended. We come up with excuses. We justify our lacking. We settle for whatever. We blame God as well as others. We charge foolishly, like a bull in a china closet or cabinet. We tear up more than we could put together by ourselves. I'm so thankful tonight that I have a great God who's a giver of purpose. He restoreth our soul. And when he restores our soul, that means he restores our purpose. He restores something in us, a reason to exist and a reason to live. Another story that I want to share with you that will contribute tonight. A nice lady was married to a very wicked and abusive man. He always gave her a list of duties that she was required to perform each day. She hated doing them because if she didn't at the end of the day, he would make her life miserable. Yes, he was very abusive. Well, God was good to her. Her husband died. And 1 year later, she met a wonderful man who asked her to marry him. Their life together was wonderful. And after they had been married 10 years, while going through some things in the attic, she came across the old lists that her first husband had imposed on her. And she looked at them, and to her surprise, she realized for the last 10 years, being married to her new husband, she had done everything on the list without realizing it. The difference was love. We live for God and refrain from sinning, not because of rule books and intimidation, but because we're in love with the Lord. Are you thankful that God loves us the way we are? But he loves us too much to leave us that way. I'm thankful that God didn't leave me the way I was. But God betters my life. He betters my outlook. He betters my soul. Oh, it's not rules anymore. It's not a list of do. And God don't have a big stick there to injure you or insult you. But God has love and kindness. Oh, his rod and staff, they lead me as a great shepherd. But I love the part where it says he restoreth my soul. Amen. He leadeth me and maketh me to lie down. That word maketh me to lie down, it doesn't mean that God says lie down, but it means he is so good, he leads me to green pastures. I can't help but lie down. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Amen. Hey friend, I'm glad I have a God who takes care of me in spite of my enemy, in spite of the insults of this world. I have a God who cares about me. He cares about your purpose. There's a lot of consequences when we lose our purpose. A lot of times disappointments come and cloud our purpose. Nothing blocks prayer like when we get disappointed and angry. We quit praying. Doubt begins to move in resentful. We become so turned in our hearts from our purpose. But I'm so thankful that God has a purpose, even when we can't see it. You remember Martha and Mary didn't understand why Jesus did not come when they asked him and sent for him. Their brother Lazarus was sick unto death, the scripture says. But Jesus was delayed. And in the meantime, Lazarus died. And they were upset because, Jesus, you came too late. He's already dead. But how wonderful to know that when Jesus was 3 days late, Jesus was right on time. But he's in the grave. He's wrapped up in grave clothes. And the tomb is already sealed. Hang on, friend. Amen. When it seems he's late, he's right on time. When somebody's written off and it's you, and you feel that I have no hope for myself, it's already wrapped up. The tomb is already sealed. My purpose is already packed away. It's something in my past. I come to tell you, the Lord is the Lord of the living, and he's Lord of the dead, and he's able to resurrect a purpose. He's able to restore a soul, and a soul when it's restored, even with purpose, God has a reason for your soul tonight. You're not just out there in space, but my God knows exactly where you're at. The great GPS of heaven, God sees you where you're at and is able to locate you, but lead you to where he needs you to be. Hallelujah. The next thing, consequences of disappointment leads to a divided mind. The fog comes to us where we no longer look to God for his help. We start responding the wrong way. We start reaching to the wrong areas of life to try to find help and direction. But I'm glad I have a God that says, you know, I don't care how bad you are. I don't care how terrible your situation is. I'm a God that picks you up when you've gone away from me. And he picks you up and brings you back to where you need to be in his kingdom. Are you thankful you have a forgiving God? A great Savior, a loving Savior tonight. A God of mercy and grace. A God of care, a God of compassion who restores our purpose. You know, it's hard to find anyone who's great who had not earned an advanced degree from the University of Adversity. How many is almost getting your doctor's degree in adversity? I mean, he's been to the University of Adversity. The University of Adversity is often the maker of great faith and trust with God. People you love turn against you. There's people here, people that you cared about has turned their backs. People that made verbal commitments and said they would. People that looked into the moment that said, oh, we're going to be here for you, have left you stranded. They turned you loose and they left you. But you know, the soul many times is refined and also defined by, you got it, adversity. Joseph was a young man that was sold by his brothers as a slave. But God had a time and place for Joseph. God had a time and a reason for Joseph. Sold on the slave market, he was bought and made in the house a servant of Potiphar. But there in Potiphar's house, even in his attempt to do right, Joseph was wronged and thrown in prison. But God has a purpose. He sees where you're at. And there in the prison, Joseph was elevated to the top trustee, manager of the prisoner, as an inmate. But God had a purpose. And God was up to something. Friend, I want to tell you, when you're down to nothing, God's still up to something. And there, God began to elevate Joseph. And somebody remembered Joseph years later. And he was brought out of that prison to the house of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh could not interpret a haunting dream, Joseph, the Lord, gave the interpretation. And that Pharaoh of Egypt put him in second in command. And there was a day that God brought his brothers to him. And his brothers were before Joseph. And finally he revealed, I am Joseph who you sold years ago. But God put me here for such a time as right now. I want to tell somebody, amen, God has a fullness and God has a purpose for your life. And his power is a keeping power. Though you go through the famine and though you go through problems, amen. A.W. Tozer, he made a statement for God cannot bless a man till he has been hurt inwardly, till he has been burned inside of him. But even those that he loved and trusted, I want to tell somebody, amen, I have a God who looks beyond the hurts, a God who sees our life. But hold it, friend, amen, he's a God that is in control. He's the one that is the author and the finisher of our life. Amen, he's the one that is writing the book of your life. Amen. Everybody wants to say, no. Hang on. As long as God's writing this book, you are the character. You are God's hero. And as long as the pen is in the hand of God, amen, you have hope. What he writes you in, he could write you out. I read some books occasionally of the hero of the book that gets in a bind. And I'm thinking, oh my, he's not going to win. But hang on, the author knows how to put the character in such a predicament. But he's able to write him out because he's the author and he has the power of the pen. Tonight, God is in control and he wants to write your life, amen, out of your problems into his glory. Hey, God didn't steal the cookies. Amen. God was sharing your life and reaching to you. The soul broth that in the time of trouble, amen, he will hide you in his pavilion. Amen. It's here tonight. I want to tell you that the evidence has done that Satan is doing his job and has done his job. When you feel that you are without purpose, Satan has done his job. When you start resenting God and the things of God, Satan is doing his job. When you realize you have missed opportunity and you feel like you can't regain it, you feel empty, powerless. When the door is closed and the fuel is gone, you're the bird in the cage and you feel like the door is completely closed. You're deceived by doubt, mistrust, hurt, and everything that happens in your life. But then there's a song that says, but a hand from out of nowhere reach down just in time. I'm glad that the hand of the Lord is in this place. The Lord is our shepherd. God wants your purpose to be restored. He restoreth my soul. Tonight, he's here to do that in this place. You're looking for an outcome, or you're looking for that great God of heaven to lead you where only he can lead you. Man could try to achieve and man could try success, but success cannot come until the great God is involved in your life. The great maker of this universe is here tonight. Amen. Even into a loser's mentality and a loser's life, God is able to speak and God is able to form, amen, only what God can do. Amen. No wonder the Bible begins to teach us that Israel, the first thing they would teach their children, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and him only shall you serve." That was the first thing that a baby heard that was an Israeli child. "Hear, Israel, the Lord your God is one, and he's going to be that number one in your life. When God is number one, he's going to be the one that will take care of you. Because when God is number one to you, you're number one to God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you. And in the end is not an end with God. It's just a new beginning. Amen. He restoreth my soul. Stand. Restoreth my soul. One of the greatest things, Sister Rebecca and Brother Robbie Brown's dad, several years ago, had a heart transplant. 17%, I can't remember the percentage of his heart that was alive. I think it was 17%. Dr. Degado in Houston, Texas. I watched the man as he began to tell me. He said, "It's amazing that somebody would give a heart. And the only way that a heart can be given is for somebody to die." Somebody was killed in an accident in Houston. And Robert Brown was in the hospital. And it was 7 o'clock that night when I received the call. He had been on the list for a heart transplant. Again, his heart was only operating about 17%, 14 to 17%, I can't remember. That night, somebody passed away in a horrible situation. The heart, it's kind of gross, was harvested. Sister Crosswhite, were you with me that night? I got to the hospital, 9 o'clock, 9 something, after speeding north of here to Houston. Walked in the hospital. When I walked out the elevator, there was a little cart with an Igloo Playmate ice chest. And if I can remember correctly, security guards, nurses was pushing the cart. I knew what it was. Inside of that little ice chest was a heart. When I was headed to the surgery waiting, they were escorted into doors. And just a few minutes later, Dr. Delgado came out. He told the family, "The heart's here. We're fixed to begin." I remember praying with the family. And just a few minutes, I'm telling you, it wasn't a long time. They came out and said, "Procedure's done. The new heart is beating." Dr. Delgado later told me, he said, "Our team was so ready." He said, "From the moment we extracted the old heart and put in the new heart," he said, "it was 11 minutes. That's fast. They sutured it all up." And I said, "Well, doctor, how do y'all start the new heart?" Dr. Delgado said, "It's one of the greatest things ever. The greatest privilege I ever have." He said, "It's not a machine." He said, "I stick my hand in there and I grab a hold of the heart and I start manipulating or squeezing it." And he said, "The greatest feeling ever is when that heart comes alive in my hands." I want to tell you, the greatest feeling ever is when you had an old heart and God is able to take and remove it and put a new heart inside of you. And God puts his hand there. And in your life, God begins to work with your heart. And new life comes. Tonight, the heart mender, the heart maker is in this place. He gave his life that you could have life more abundantly, that you could have a purpose. I feel Jesus in this place. The Lord is our shepherd. Would you let the Lord lead you tonight? Would you step out of your chairs tonight and just come gather close to this front, even as close as you can to the platform? Very quickly, would you come? We're going to give God an opportunity tonight to restore our purpose. I feel the closeness of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. Would you just gently, as you come up here tonight, just open your heart, open your mind, and ask God tonight to touch you deeply inside.
Would you allow God to minister to you right now and to restore your purpose? Would you let God reach his hand in your life? And would you let him begin to work on you, Lord? But you have to give your heart to God. You have to surrender some things to him. God is not one that is just one that just steps in and takes over. He's one that when you open your heart to him and you give him a welcome, he could transplant your heart from an old heart to a new heart. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes and lift your hands in this building right now? I feel Jesus restoring somebody's purpose. He's on time for your life tonight. Come on, he's on time. He's so gently working right now. Hallelujah. Come on, your cry may be a silent cry tonight, but he's on time to heal, to minister to you, to help you, to bring love back to you. You've suffered. You've been burned. Amen. You've been hurt, but the Lord is here tonight to restore your soul, to prove to you that he does love you. It's okay to let a tear roll down your face. It's okay for you to cry out. Amen. Even if you're in despair tonight, but God takes that despairing cry and those tears, amen, where you begin to shed, and he takes them and turn them into love tears and joy tears. Amen. Tears of pleasure. No longer will you have tears of sorrow, amen, rolling down without purpose. But the Lord is the master of the heart. He's the maker of life, and he's the maker of purpose today. Hallelujah. Would you let the Lord right now minister deep inside? Hallelujah. Lord, touch me, minister to me. Oh God, you have purpose for my soul. There's a reason for my soul. There's a reason for my life. Come on, maybe you've been hurting. Maybe you've been holding some things in. Amen. You need to ask God to forgive you of. Amen. It's okay to repent. It's okay to say, God, forgive me. God, heal me of my brokenness, my misery. God, I charged you wrong. I blamed other things. But God, you have purpose for my life and my soul. Would you let Jesus right now? Are you hungry for the things of God, the realness? Come on, religion don't do it. I'm telling you, religion don't work, but God does. Come on, we don't join a church here, but we let the Holy Ghost minister. We let the God of heaven reach in. We let the glory of God reach in. Give the Lord that chance. Give the Lord that opportunity. Come on, hallelujah. If there's somebody near you, it's okay for you to lay your hand gently on their shoulders. And would you pray with them? The Lord's doing something right now. The Lord is ministering in this place. Hallelujah. Have your way with me. Amen. Would you give God permission? Would you tell the Lord, have your way with me right now? Have your way with my heart, my life. Have your way with my soul, dear Jesus. Have your way, Lord God. Oh God, renew my purpose, restore my soul. Come on, God is for you. God is for you tonight. And if God be for you, amen, I don't care how much is against you. Amen, the greater source, the greater force is God Almighty. He's here to help you.
One day in your courts, better is one day.
Come on, talk to the Lord. Take good time with the Lord right now. Lord, I give myself to you. Here am I, Jesus.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts.
Come on, let God be God. Let God be God, friend. Come on, sister, let God minister to you. Come on, let the freedom, the liberty of godliness and righteousness flow to you. Come on, receive forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness from God. Worthy is the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, he's doing something in this place right now for you. Come on, he's desiring to help you, to heal you, to bless your life. Here am I, dear Jesus. Oh, thank you, God, for renewal. Thank you, Lord, for the fresh wind of the Holy Ghost that we feel. Amen. Would you lift your hands high as you can? That's a sign of surrender.
Somebody needs to surrender and say, God, I'm tired of living the way I have. I'm tired of being aimlessly living and purposely driven. God, I want your spirit to be in my soul. I want your righteousness to be restored to me. Restore to me my purpose. Restore to me my life.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house.
Come on, let the master work.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere.
Let the Holy Ghost operate on you, in you.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts.
Jesus, I love you and I need you. I need you, Jesus.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house.
I need you, Lord. Fill me. Restore my soul. Fulfill me, God, with your purpose.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day.
Master work with you tonight.
Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. How lovely is your dwelling place. Soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied. Shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day.
Come on, God's a life healer.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than the thousands elsewhere. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. courts and a thousand elsewhere. Better is the one day in your courts. Better is the one day in your house. Better is the one day in your courts and a thousand elsewhere. Better is the one day in your courts. Better is the one day in your house. A thousand elsewhere.
Despair to where he could shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Tonight, can you shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Somebody ought to praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Rejoice and celebrate our God.
With the voice of triumph, shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Lift your name up. Lift your name up.
You ought to celebrate. Come on. It's time to celebrate and rejoice.
We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make our praise. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make our praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
Would you join us and clap your hands to the Lord? Clap your hands to the Lord. Yeah. God has more than a smile for your face. God has a smile for your life. Many people have smiles and they can smile back, but there's a smile that God wants to put in your life.
Amen.
A joy. An unspeakable joy, the Bible says. And the fullness of His glory. Fulfillment. That's what fullness means. Fulfillment. I've been full before. As a kid, I ate a lot of cotton candy, but it didn't fill me. But I wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah.
I mean, I was sick. Too much of the wrong stuff. But there's something, amen. I almost said something. Amen. There's something about a good etouffee, brother.
Amen.
It's got some rice in it, and it got the crawfish in it, and the shrimp in it, my chef. Amen. It'll fulfill you. Amen. There's something, I'm going to talk Texan now. There's something about a bowl of beans and cornbread. It just fulfills you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you thankful the Holy Ghost, it fulfills you? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good, isn't He? Praise God. We're so thankful for the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're so blessed today for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Just the way that God ministers, the way God touches us. And the thing about it, this is not just for this service. God don't want you to have this just here. You go to a restaurant, they ask you, is it for here or to?
No.
God always wants it to be something you take with you. He wants it to be taken. He wants it to go with you. Amen. And that's how beautiful it is. The Lord just don't leave you here. Amen. His experience is not just for the church building, but it's for you and your life. You're His. Amen. We're so blessed that you're with us tonight. Brother Newman, good to have you. Amen. So honored. Amen. Praise God. And oh, it's so wonderful, these three sisters that are with us tonight. We're so blessed that you're with us. Thomas, good to see you tonight. Yes, Tommy. Tommy. Yes, Christina, good to Tina. Amen. We sure love you. Amen. We're so thankful God's doing in lives and souls. Amen. Johnny, there's nothing like the Spirit of God. I want God to fill you with His Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, man, the greatest high you'll ever get, amen, higher than anything out there on the streets, anything that anybody could give you, is the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. The drugs of the world let you down, but how many could testify? Amen. Jesus won't let you down. Amen. Even the helium balloon has to come down. But I got something greater. It just keeps going up and up and up and up in God. Praise God. We're so thankful tonight that you're here. Amen. These cards up here, if you didn't catch what they said, amen. They're numbered from $1 all the way to 100. And this is to save our children. Every child counts that we reach to. And we ask you to at least get one of these cards tonight. And you could fill out the back and give it to Sister Coley right here. And if everybody gets a card, and whatever card you pick up tonight and choose to get, if you pick number 11 and you say, Easter Sunday, I'm going to give $11. And everybody gets a card and they give exactly what's on that card. There's only 100 cards up here. Do you know when we give that offering, it'll be $5,500. $5,050. I'm sorry. You added it up, didn't you? Ashton did. Ashton did. $5,050. And it's 100 of these things. Get them. Fill out the back and you'll be amazed. Amen. We got opportunity to buy 2 buses. And on Thursday nights when we pick up these kids, and boy, I'm so thankful. Amen. We're running this bus, but last time we had to run 3 different occasions just to get them. And we're ready to be able to get them all in one load. That way we don't have shifts of these children coming in. And we're so thankful that little boy that we picked up years ago, that's God is doing a work in his life, and he's right here, Charlie. Amen. remember going on Dolph Street to your house when you lived there. And he had broke his leg. Brother Zach and I went over there. And I can't remember. You remember all we got you. We knocked on that door. And a big old basket of stuff that we brought to him. He had broke his leg. And it was just our way of loving this young man. And many times, you don't know how many times that we went to Taco Casa where he worked. And walked in there and he'd be smiling. And I mean, just something about it. Amen. And it's worth every soul we reach to.
Amen.
As a bunch of Charlies, amen, out there that need a chance, that need an opportunity. Just somebody that cares. And that's what our whole purpose in life is. Thank you. God bless you. Let's go to heaven. How?
Together.
Make sure you greet people around you tonight and let them know that our God is a good God. God bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Tuesday night's our midweek service. Come and be ready.